Praise the Lord. Dear friends, let us start today's reflections with a reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Chapter 8, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. This question and answer is placed somewhere in the middle of the public ministry of Jesus. The place is called the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is a town situated somewhere near the sources of Jordan. The river Jordan springs out of the earth somewhere near this particular area in the northern part of Galilee. Caesarea Philippi. The additional specification of Philippi is given in order to distinguish this city from another city of the same name, Caesarea. In fact, Herod the Great had built a harbor city on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean and named that city Caesarea in honor of Caesar or Caesar Augustus or Octavian. So this Caesarea was already in existence when Herod Philip, the son of the great Herod, built another city in honor of Caesar Tiberius and called it again Caesarea, in honor of the Caesar. So there were two Caesarea existing, and in order to distinguish these two, an addition was given. The first is called Caesarea Maritima, meaning the Caesarea on the seashore. And the other one is called Caesarea Philippi, meaning Caesarea of Philip. So this is a city situated on the northern border of Galilee. That's where Jesus asks the question. The question is concerning the identity of Jesus. Dear friends, today we are starting a new series of talks. We have already completed a series of talks on the Lord's Prayer. We had given 22 meditations on that prayer taught by Jesus. Now we would like to see who this Jesus is, the one who taught us to pray such a beautiful prayer, one who taught us to call God Abba, our dear Father, the one who taught us to search for the will of the Father, to glorify the name of the Father, who taught us to pray for our bread, for forgiveness and protection. Who is this Jesus? This is a question Jesus himself asked. And this question is placed somewhere in the middle of his public ministry, I said. The Gospel of Mark can be divided into three main sections. Or the ministry of Jesus, public ministry of Jesus, can be divided into three parts according to the Gospel of Mark. The first is the Galilean ministry that starts with the baptism and the temptation in the desert and then the activities in the northern part of Palestine called Galilee. So that activity in Galilee comes to an end towards the middle of his public ministry. And then he starts a journey, an epic journey towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the religious and political capital of Palestine, of the Holy Land. So the second part is the journey to Jerusalem. And then finally, the ministry in Jerusalem. The ministry that ends up in confrontation with the leaders, and finally in the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So the three parts, Galilean ministry, journey to Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem ministry. This is an artificial framework which Mark himself has invented in order to present the public ministry of Jesus. Now, in this scheme of affairs, the disciples are given a decisive question. After having performed so many miracles and presented so much of his teaching, after revealing his identity through word and deed, Jesus is asking the question, who do people say that I am? What did the people think about him? It's not a kind of a popular vote taking. It did not matter how much what the people thought about him. He was not going to change his policy or take a new course of action. No. He just wanted the people, the disciples, to reflect on the person of himself. The first question is followed by a second question. Who do you say that I am? And that is more important. Well, who do you say that Jesus is? Our question also will be leading to that. Who is Jesus for you? So I have to ask myself, who is Jesus for me? But before I ask that question to you or to me, we just see what people think about him. What could the people of Galilee think about Jesus at this particular point of time? Who was he? In the popular eye, he was a carpenter. That's what they say. Is he not Mary's son, the carpenter? Or some other evangelists say, is he not the carpenter's son? So Jesus was a carpenter, a carpenter's son. And the name Jesus is not an exceptional name. There are so many Jesuses living at that time. Jesus is a Hebrew name, and it is a short form of a longer name, Yahweh Shua. Yahweh Shua means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh Shua has been abbreviated into Yehoshua, and again into Joshua, and finally into Jeshua. So Yahweh Shua has become Jeshua, and that is how Mary, the mother of Jesus, would call him, Jeshua. That's how the companions call him, Jeshua. That's how the Hebrews call one another, Jeshua. Jeshua, to specify this particular Jeshua from other Jeshuas, the father's name also would be added. Jeshua bar Yosef, if it is Aramaic, or Ben Yosef, if it is Hebrew. So Jeshua is a name that is quite common in the time of Jesus. So this Jesus is a carpenter. He comes from a God-forsaken village, an unknown village, so to say, Nazareth. Nowhere is Nazareth mentioned in the Old Testament. No prophecy is connected with Nazareth. That's how some of the leaders would say, search the scriptures and find out no good can come from Nazareth. Such was the reputation. Unknown village. A village carpenter from Nazareth. So what can he be? He did not have a formal education anywhere except the training at his father's workshop. Of course, he would have learned to read and to write. But he did not write anything. We have nothing written by Jesus. The Gospels say, especially Gospel of John, that Jesus wrote something, and only once in his life, and that was written on the sand. When the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery and were insisting on Jesus to pronounce a judgment on her, Jesus did not want to take a side. He did not want to pronounce a judgment, so he was writing down in the sand, in the dust, and we do not know what he wrote. So except this, nothing is said about his writing. He did not write anything. He did not leave any book behind. He did not travel much. The furthest he might have gone is about 200 kilometers from one end to the other. He might have made a short trip to Tyre and Sidon, but very short journey. The entire activity of Jesus, and that lasted only about 2.5 years, when he started his public ministry, so to say, following upon the call of John the Baptizer. So this activity of Jesus was limited to a particular area in the Roman Empire called Palestine. He did not make any journeys outside this area. He did not fight any war. He did not win any war. He did not have a standing army. He did not conquer any country. He did not do anything that in the normal history of people would attract any attention. Like Alexander the Conqueror, he did not conquer any land. Like Julius Caesar, who built up the Roman Empire, he did not build an empire. Not like Napoleon, not like any of the leading figures, he did not have any army, he did not have an empire, and he did not have anything. He was born in a cave where the cattle are kept at night, and he was buried in a tomb that was not his own, borrowed from a friend. And he was killed by the Roman army, by the Roman government, put on trial and condemned as a criminal, crucified as a dangerous revolutionary or criminal. So this is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. So when Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" they did not have much to say about him, except his own activities, that he was a carpenter. But once he had left the carpenter's shop and started on a preaching ministry, then people started flocking to him. A power was coming out of him, a power that was healing. So there was power in him, a divine power. Some others interpret it as a diabolic power. But he was something different from others. He was strange. So he, whatever he said, whatever he did, during this short period of 2.5 years, was totally different from others. So they, people, considered him a prophet. That is the answer the disciples give. Some say, "You are John the Baptist, risen from the dead. You are Elijah, come back to life. Or you are a prophet like Moses." But all these are limited to the particular understanding of Jesus as a prophet, as one of the Old Testament prophets. That is how the contemporaries thought about him. Maybe something more. Others would have considered him as the Messiah, the expected king. Others considered him a son of David. Some of them called him son of David. Son of David, Messiah. And as time advanced, they would call him son of David, the king of the Jews, the one to come, etc. So they had some categories to go with in order to interpret this particular person. And they were trying to fix Jesus into these categories, which were common among them. In order to understand this person, they used the categories familiar to them. But then, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, more and more titles were added. He was the Messiah. He was the expected king. He was a son of David. He was a son of God. He was a son of man. He is the Lord. He is the Redeemer, the one who forgives sins, one who leads people to heaven. More and more titles were added. And as history advanced, progressed, more titles were given and a deeper understanding of the person of Jesus took place. So we will have to ask the question, who is this Jesus? What did he do? What did he teach? How did his contemporaries understand him? How do we understand him? So ours is a search. Search of the person of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus for me? Today also, there are very many different pictures of Jesus being painted. Enough to look at the different paintings of Jesus as the infant in the cradle or in the manger, or the child infant being presented in the temple, or the boy Jesus standing in the temple discussing and disputing with the leaders, or the person, the prophet, speaking at Nazareth in the synagogue, the one healing the paralytic, in conversation with the Samaritan woman, and so many pictures. Jesus the healer, Jesus the preacher, Jesus the wonder worker, Jesus the miracle performer, Jesus who stills the storms, Jesus who casts out demons, Jesus who challenges the authority, Jesus who chases out the merchants from the temple, Jesus who teaches in the temple, Jesus who divides himself in the bread and gives to the people, asking, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Jesus on the cross. So there are so many infinite pictures of Jesus. And all these pictures somehow or other present a reality of Jesus. All these together make up the whole Jesus. It's also devotion to Jesus. In order to emphasize the aspect of mercy, you have the divine mercy. You have the sacred heart of Jesus glowing with love. You have the passion of Christ, crowned with thorns, carrying the cross, crucified, so many devotions. You have the devotion of the sacred face, the face that has been disfigured by brutal blows. You have the devotion of the sacred blood that washes away the sins. You have the devotion to the Holy Cross. A sign of ridicule, an instrument of persecution, torture, turned into a sign of glory and victory. So various aspects of Jesus becoming objects of devotion. Behind, above and beyond this devotion, devotional elements and devotional aspects stands the person of Jesus. What we will try to do is go after this person, see the entire picture, not just one aspect, the heart or blood or face or cross, but the person of Jesus. That is more important, the entire person. And we'll see how this person is being presented in the Gospels. We should also know where to go looking for Jesus. How can we understand this person? A person who lived 2,000 years ago, where shall we find him? Are there any documents in the secular literature about this particular person who was put to death by the Roman authority in the beginning of the present era? In fact, this person is the one who divided the history of the world into two, before Christ, after Christ. He becomes the center of history. No other individual human being has ever influenced so much the human history. Nobody has changed the face of the earth so much as Jesus Christ. So we are trying to come closer to this person, Jesus, whom millions and millions of people adore and worship as Son of God, but many others oppose and reject. So he is a sign of contradiction even today. Standing before Jesus, you will have to make a decision, either for or against him. Those who are not with me are against me, Jesus said. Those who are not against me are with me. So now we are starting a new series, and I welcome you to continue on this series this pilgrimage of the discovery of the person of Jesus. Just close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much as to send your only Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. Enable us to understand him. Enable us to come closer to him. Enable us to be his followers. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.